spirit rush in like a flood. Heaven open up, come in, never-ending waves, I'm swept away. Lord, this is the cry of our heart to commune with you. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Touching the depth of our heart with your love, with your fire, your grace, your mercy, who you are rising up. Rising up inside of us and coming upon us. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you would immerse us in who you are, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Keep coming. Thank you, Lord, for the soaking rain over our hearts, over this place, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the saturation. Saturation of our hearts by your love. Nothing else is better. The new wine of your love, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just draw us into the cleft of the rock, to the deep places of your heart, as you tell us in John 17. Is released over us and to us. Peace, joy, and righteousness in you. That's the kingdom. Your kingdom is here. Your kingdom is here. Thank you, Jesus. We abide in you. We abide in you. Our hearts are tendered. The flame of your love and your presence is upon us. The gentle, sweet spring rain. In the ferocity also of a deluge from heaven that we are contending for to touch one heart at a time as you change the atmosphere through our praise, our worship, our petition, our love before you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come crashing in wave after wave to open our eyes that we could see, open our ears that we can hear. Open our hearts that we can sense and feel. As you love us, Jesus, in the midst of our stuff, Lord, you say, go and sin no more. Go. Have no more separation. Go. Don't invite the hurt and the pain that comes through lack with me. I am sustaining, I am fulfilling, I am your sustenance, I am your provision, I am your portion, I'm everything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. As you fall afresh on us today, it's easier and easier and easier to say yes. Thank you, Jesus. All things are by you, from you, through you, to you, for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being the fulfillment of our Papa in heaven. Thank you. Thank you. Just praise you. This night begins our fire and incense night, Lord. It is a fresh stirring in our hearts today to be able to take that torch and carry it past that burning torch on. Thank you, Lord. But the torch comes from you, from heaven, and we hold it unreservedly. We hold it close to our hearts. And we pull in to be saturated close, 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 close. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just see flames burning brightly in hearts. I see just a massive picture of many hearts just being touched one after the other, corporately and individually, by the flame of our Papa, flame of our Jesus, flame of our Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy One. just rush out of the room, rush away from our heart as we see your eyes, we focus on your face, focus on your faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the privilege of worshiping with you today. We're swept away in your love. Just receive him right now in the places where there's been a challenge. Maybe it's a physical challenge, an emotional challenge, a mental challenge, whatever it would be. Invite him to touch those places. Invite him as you're inviting him just to come. He comes to love. He comes to release. He comes. Thank you, Jesus. He's shaking us in a good way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So if you're feeling sickness in your body right now, can you just raise your hand? Just put your hand up. Put your hand up. Whatever it is, and just gather around anyone you see. Their hands are up. And we're just trusting the Holy Spirit is touching and healing. And those who are standing in the gap, also for those who are contending for healing. So if you're contending for the healing and deliverance of another as well, just put your hand in the air and just gather around those people. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the encouragement this morning. And for your fresh presence to touch us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you're so good. Thank you, Lord, that you exchange the burdens, God. For your light, your presence, your healing, your wholeness, God. For the ones, the beloved ones here who've been carrying a burden or feeling pain, or carrying the burden, feeling the pain of others as well. So, Lord, we're inviting your delivering power and your healing aroma to come, and be released in fullness. Going to share with us this morning as we're receiving Holy Spirit's still moving, and He's going to move through Rachel's speaking as well as coming with our hands touching other people. So He's looking for us to just say, "You're here. You're upon me. You're upon me. You're in me. You're moving." So Holy Spirit's here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank You that You are moving in us. Father, You're moving around us, Lord God. You're moving here in our county, Father. You're moving here in our world, Lord. And You're moving right inside our spirits this morning, Father God. So we just welcome You, Lord God. We say, yes, Lord. We say, bring Your life. Bring Your life, Lord. Bring Your life, Lord God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We love You, Father. We thank You that You are passionate, Father God, that You are fiery, Lord God, that You are encouraged, Lord God. And so this morning, Father, we just are encouraged this morning because of You, because of who You are, Lord God, and because of who You are in us, Father. So I thank You, Lord God, that You're stirring, Father God, and Lord, You're just bringing new life, Father. I thank You for the beautiful tree outside. If you haven't seen it, see it on your way out. It's the most beautiful tree, and it looks beautiful this morning, so just take a minute and look at it as you go out, and remember that the Lord wants to encourage your heart today, and He wants you to live in a state of encouragement, so pause and take a moment with the tree. So I also wanted to encourage you some this morning, just with the perspective that God is moving in the hearts of our kids and our young adults that are here. It's part of our body. And for those of you who don't know exactly what happens when the kids troop up here and they go behind the stage, they're learning a Bible lesson that's going along on a curriculum, learning about the life of Jesus. And then on this side of the stage, they're also involved in something called Green Light Missions, which we've been doing for almost a year now, and just letting the Lord stir up their hearts for missions, for an understanding of the world, for the different countries and cultures, and also how they can be see themselves as a missionary, as someone who reaches out both in their prayers across for the nation, in the projects that they can be involved with in the nation, in helping to send the missionaries that go out from this church, and also in their schools and praying for the schools, thinking about who they want to reach out to in their schools and all of that. So I've enjoyed it, and I think that we've all enjoyed it as we've grown this year into what that's going to look like in the years to come. And so we want to share with you guys, there's going to be a mission lunch at the end of the mission training weekend for the mission teams. There's going to be a mission lunch, I believe that's June 3rd. And wanted to invite you guys to come to that, but also we want to share with the Green Light Missions class. You don't know it yet, but we want to share what the Lord's been doing and do that in a fun, interactive way with you at the lunch. So I want to invite you guys all to come, and Green Light Missionaries, we're going to be getting ready for that, so that's going to be really fun. And also just wanted to say that the Lord is moving there. He's changing their hearts to see themselves as part of what we're doing, and as that they are able to do this also. And so I just wanted to encourage you guys to bring them and have them be a part of the 24/7 prayer that's happening this week. I'm going to be working after this today to set up something that's specifically for them, so you can come with your parents, or parents, you can come with your kids, and spend some time praying together for the nations and, you know, for our region. And so don't consider it only for adults. This is also for the young people in our body to join in, because we need their prayers too, and we need their hearts focused on this, and the Lord wants to hear them. And even if their prayers aren't necessarily as long as ours, they are powerful, and the Lord's teaching them how to intercede and how to do that. So bring them. This week's a part of that, so bring into that. And also there's, wanted to show a little clip from First Friday today, or that happened this week. If you heard, Andy was inviting the Greenlight missionaries to come also, because they have been preparing for that in their class, preparing for the prophetic drawing that we do and that type of outreach. And so Levi heard that, and he wanted to go down to First Friday, and so he was down there with Troy and was able to draw several pictures for people and also to pray with someone. I guess there was a man that had too much to drink, and he stumbled and fell in the road, and Troy and Levi went over to help him up, and he was complaining that he had really sharp pains in his leg, was concerned that maybe it was broken, and Troy asked if they could pray for him, and yes, please. And so Levi and Troy prayed for him, and after that he said, you know, all the sharp pains were gone. It was just a little bit less, and so he was very, and Levi was very encouraged, told me about that when he got home. And then here's Levi explaining one of his pictures to, I think your name is Philip, and he's actually here this morning, so hi, Philip, we're glad you're here. He didn't know you'd be up on the screen, but, and I think you've been to this church before, right? So welcome back, glad you're here, and Levi got to draw a picture for him, so here's him just explaining his picture.
Tell me real quick what you drew and what it means. Really loud, though, you have to talk really loud. That's awesome. What do you think about that, Philip? Yeah? That's pretty cool. That's the most valuable diamond, huh? Or the red diamond? Cool.
All right, so that was a little hard to hear up there because of technology, but it's clearer on the phone that Troy took. But so basically, Levi saw a picture of a red diamond, and he drew that out, and he said, this is the most precious and rare kind of diamond, right? And he saw that for Philip, that that's how the Lord sees you. And so he shared that up there. So that was, so I want to encourage you guys that you guys are all able to come out to First Friday and do the same thing. And if young people, if you want to go, or if your parents, you know, want to take you, just let me know first before you guys go down there so that I can, you know, we can help coordinate what's happening down there with the Greenlight missionaries. Want you guys to jump into that. I don't know if you. And finally, there's lots of things. Oh, and also, as we're teaching the young people how to jump into sharing their faith and just stepping out for Jesus and how to love practically. We've talked about that too. It is in our heart to take the kids into a local outreach experience, a local mission experience. So if parents, if that's something you'd like to jump in with and help me with, then come see me, because I cannot do it alone. But that is in the heart and the desire for our kids to start stepping out, you know, in this community the same way that we do. And they're walking in our footsteps, and it's really cool. So
thanks, Rach. When Frontline was birthed 22-ish years ago, you know, there were a lot of crazy young adults that jumped in and still are jumping in. But what we see in this season is that these young ones, these little ones, even babies, are growing up with, this is what I do, this is who I am, this is normal. And that's with us believing that. So it's really great that Levi was able to have that experience. And I think as we link arms, other friends, others in the community, as well as others here, will say, oh, wow, I want to do that. What are you doing? What's that all about? And our heart would like to have also overseas missions for the little ones. And that's always been in our hearts, but we need help, need manpower. We need people to you know, focus in on asking the Lord how they might assist and help. And so if you're interested in that, please see me as well, because we're asking God for the timing. We've always been doing that. But if we can't step out and do things here, why would we want to go overseas if we think about that? And so we had the same mindset back 22 years ago, and we were extremely, and still are, very active locally. So, you know, that's kind of the heart behind it, so that we're learning to live and lead a missional lifestyle, which is, Jesus, you're the mission. And living in America, it's really tough. And the older we get and the longer we've been doing this, the tougher it seems like it is. with those who are, you know, coming up with their own families. It's not easy because there's so many distractions, and it's just easy to do good things, which is great. But we're saying stepping into the things that the Lord is specifically saying for us that go beyond good. And so we're asking for that help and that heart. So the mission luncheon is for everybody. Usually it's just the Mozambique team, and we thought, we go different places in the world. So most of us have been overseas before, and if not, come anyway. So it's for the whole church. It's for the whole ministry. So if you could come, that would be awesome, to the mission luncheon on June, I guess it's the 3rd. Yeah. So Andy's going to give us just a quick update on First Friday.
Yeah, it was really a lot of fun. It was our first booth. The people that came out, there wasn't a ton because it had rained just beforehand. But I was encouraged to see that the people who run First Friday, they were coming through and they're like, oh, someone told me that you guys weren't here, but you guys are always here. Like, that's right, we are always here. So we have that reputation, come rain, come shine, we're going to set up. It's true. And they appreciate that because a lot of times people sign up, they're nonprofits, they sign up for a space, and then the weather comes and they're like, oh, no, we're not going to do that. And so they're really appreciative because sometimes it's not as encouraging to people down there when there is, you know, inclement weather, and then you have like 3 booths instead of when it's like, you know, an awesome sunshiny day and everything else. So mark your calendars for June 1st, where it's also going to be First Friday and going to be leaving for good weather, and there's some amazing opportunities that are going to be happening down there. And just to encourage you guys with the kids, it was so encouraging to me. Like, I'm sitting here talking to these 2 college students, and one wasn't a student. He was completely tatted up with piercings and these weird holes in his earrings or whatever. And Levi's sitting right there with Troy, and we're interacting with him and just, you know, sharing the love of Jesus with him. And what was striking my heart is that here's Levi being a representation of the love of Jesus, even as a small child. And the thing that I'm really believing is that as we continue to invest in these kids and green light missions and such, they're going to be raised in an atmosphere, and I know it's already been said, but I'll reiterate it. They'll be raised in an atmosphere of demonstrating the love of Jesus to other people. And so if someone isn't saved and they sit down at a table and a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because we put them in the position to sit in the seat, if they receive something from Holy Spirit, and they will, you know that the Lord's going to use that to melt that person's heart. He's going to use that to open up doors that heart. I mean, it's you got to be really, something's got to really be going on the inside if you're saying no to a child. Can you imagine the love of Jesus coming through that child to open up that person's heart? And so I really want to encourage you guys. Huh? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Miracles, healings, words of knowledge, that's going to touch those people because it's coming through the kids. And the thing for me, and this is just the way I think, the way I was raised in my religious background, which I'm thankful for somewhat, but not in other ways, if I saw somebody that was like tatted up and had long hair and everything else, there'd be an intimidation factor. There'd be, I don't know if I could talk to that person or not. But if I'm growing up interacting with people like that, I don't have a problem. There's no wall. There's no preconceived notions. There's no breaking it. It's, you need Jesus, and I'm here to share love with you, and I'm not looking at the outside. I'm looking at the heart. And so we have to be lights in the darkness, and if we just keep our kids in the light all the time, then how are they going to grow up in being lights in the darkness? You got to... I was sitting there in the back, and I know I'm going on here, but the Lord was just like, you got to put them out there. I mean, there's some fear and apprehension there, but, you know, Abraham sacrificed Isaac, and, you know, they got him back. So, I'm just, it's a principle. I'm not saying, hear me, I'm not saying you sacrifice your children, but if we put them out there as light in the darkness, God's big enough to protect and watch over them, okay? There's cleansing, there's forgiveness. You guys hearing me clearly, so you're not saying that I'm advocating something else. I'm not. No, she did not tell me to say that at all. That is something that is coming from my heart. But it's true, because that's how we're light in the darkness. That's how that we grow up with that, you know, familiarity with sharing the love of Jesus. And First Friday is such an awesome opportunity. And one last thing, there was a 13-year-old girl that sat down across from me, and there was a whole group of them and their friends, don't have anything to do. So they're just sitting there, and just being able to interact with them. And she had, you know, she was really into space and all that kind of stuff. And she was like, but I don't know, how does that all work with, like, God creating us and whatever? And I was able to share with her, you know, there was a time when God was, it was just God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit existing. There were no angels. It was just him being perfectly at peace. And there was one thing that was on his mind at that time with no other distractions. And it was you. It was your life. It was who you are, who he created you to be. And he thought about you before there was anything else. There was just you. And he was thinking about you and your life and your heart and what you like and don't like. And he laid all these things out for you. And just beginning to, you know, speak to her spirit, say, this is your valuable treasure to Jesus. This is how he sees you. He thinks about you. And, you know, and just encouraging her, this is who you are. And she's with her friend. She's like, I'm ready to start crying. I can't cry. I'm, you know, like, they're like elbowing each other because the love of Jesus was coming through so much through myself, through some other people there. Like, they're literally holding back tears because the presence of Jesus is there just to wrap his arms of love around them and say, you're a treasure, you're valuable. So really, I encourage you guys to take advantage of these opportunities because it's so precious. Because I was able to share with her, the reason why you're sitting in this seat across from me is because Jesus wants you to hear this message. That's why you're sitting down here. It's not you're just happening past. It's he's drawing you. So for us in our hearts, we're so rich in the Spirit. We're so fat. We're so filled up. Like, let's give it away, please. Let's give it away, because that's why he gives it to us. It's not so that we can just keep it for ourselves, because his heart is after the lost, and I know I always say the last thing, like my spiritual parents, but the last thing I was able to encourage her, I was like, you know how I'm sharing this with you? It's because God speaks to me, and he wants to speak to you, and he wants to speak to you in a unique, creative way to where you know that he is speaking to you, because that's you can hear from him, and it's not just an idea, a nebulous thing, and it's a creative, unique way on how he speaks. And so people sitting in that position, people are hungry to hear from God, from his heart. And yeah, they might have issues and problems and all of that, but at the end of the day, God's word coming through you can open up that person and their life to a complete direction. And the last thing, drew a picture for a woman who basically survived breast cancer. And she came back, and I was like, well, have you had this happen before? And she's like, yeah, I had a picture drawn last year, and it encouraged my heart. You know, I was like, well, who drew for it? And she's like, I don't know. What was the picture? I don't know. But she went on a journey, and she was sitting there, you know, through all the things that she had faced in her life, and she was thankful that we were there to, again, like, encourage and build up her heart because of what had happened, you know. And so people seek us out. So, again, take every advantage of those opportunities because it really, really, really makes an impact. And to really watch out for distractions and other things that would deviate that from taking place, because, of course, the enemy is not going to want you to sit across from somebody and share the love of Jesus. So mark it giant on your calendar, just like circle it, and then bring out your kids and we'll make it all work. First Friday.
Thank you, Andy. I just invited him to come up and share a little bit. So that's his heart. That's the Lord's heart. Thank you. And even littler ones than 6, 7, or 8 can come and watch the other ones who are verbally communicating and drawing, or maybe they'll draw something. So I think that's a good word, and it touches the generations. Amen. Can you play there's a little clip. It's only a couple minutes. It's only part of what Pastor Bill offered. But we were down on a few of us were down on the square for the Canton National Day of Prayer on Thursday, and he was one of the speakers, one of the prayers, so to speak, and it was interesting because as he started out, he set the tone, really, for what was coming, and I'm not so sure that was all understood or seen, but it was really cool because of what we had experienced in David's tent. It was just interesting to see what the Lord thinks about worship, so if you can play that, that would be good.
Between the Capitol building and the Washington Monument, there is a permanent tent of worship. It's called David's Tent. 24/7 worship is going up from that place. And much of it is new songs of worship. They're creating worship as they're singing. And so we took our team down there, and we took 12 hours out of the time, and we gave up worship to God. Much of it was a new song. We just listened to the Holy Spirit give us the song as we were worshiping. It was such an impacting thing for us, and so good to meet people from around Ohio, because it was a week of worship for Ohio. They're doing 50 states. It was Ohio's week this week. So we were privileged to participate in that. Another thing in Washington, D.C. is a Bible museum. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's a whole block long, 6 stories high, at least, and filled with artwork and the Bible and various Bible pages and Bibles from centuries before. You know, in the 15th century, this was the greatest media event and has stood the test of time. The Gutenberg Bible, the printing press that produced the first Bible. It produced a Bible printed for the first time. Not any longer, scribes were scribing it out, writing it out, taking hours and hours and hours. Now they can print the Bible. And it revolutionized all of media at that time, because other things were printed. And as you know, it's...
So it went on, and he prayed, and it was awesome. But he was setting the stage for the way that God wants to use our communication opportunities and efforts in our nation, around the world, and for spirit-filled, anointed, crazy, radical believers to get into those realms for sure, but to undergird that with the idea that the Lord wants to lead and direct all those things, and that you can lead a missional lifestyle in those areas. It's a missional heart where we say no to things that seem to distract us, that are good and fun, and it's everybody does it. But God's saying, I'm calling you to live differently. I'm calling you to be set apart. So how can we be set apart? And that would be, I'm sure, in Pastor Bill's message somewhere. He's going to preach that in a minute. But just a thought, just to encourage each one of us to really take stock today and say, Lord, where do I stand? What can I do? Where can I offer? It is about you. It's not just, well, I do worship and I don't do this and I don't do this and I do that. I just think that's a mistake. We don't do everything. We do everything the Lord's calling, but sometimes he's calling us to step out in our giftings and callings in ways that might not be exactly what we like or what we do. So, you know, if I'm not called to be on the worship stage, I will stand up and hold a microphone, but I might be called to be up on the worship stage. So we just don't want to delineate like that so succinctly with our own choices. So I'm encouraging you, with Andy's encouragement also and Rachel's, to come out for fire and incense. We passed out flyers. We don't know if one person will be in here or many throughout this next week, starting tonight. It's 24/7. That means we have night hours. That means our building is open. That means that, oh my gosh, that's what we're doing, which is unusual. Most people wouldn't and don't do that. And so that is what we're doing. So we are asking this year for people, in light of where our society is, not in light of the Lord, but in light of society, we're asking you to sign up, and we're asking you that you would take those night hours, just as we take those night hours to read the Bible in downtown Canton, if we would take the night hours here. And the table is out here. If you could do that, that would be really great. And let us know, so you can come and go freely, but if you could also take those night hours specifically, and then the rest of the time it'll be open too. So praise God for that. And thank you for those who participated in the prayer drive. We were talking with some of the leaders of National Day of Prayer, and it was not widely attended around the county, and you know, with the beginning and the opening ceremony, so to speak, but it was attended, and many people from this place decided to take the time out of their schedule and kind of streamline their life and drive those 2 hours, and thank you for that. It meant a lot, and I believe the Lord sees that. So we are leaders in this community, and on Tuesday, Pastor Bill has called a Revive Stark meeting to come here at Frontline, and that's during Fire and Wind. So we did that last month, and we had many people from around the county come, and he's expecting, we're all expecting many more, because the word is spread. Because after we had prayer, we went into worship, and people, not a lot stayed, but some did. And it was phenomenal. It was so worth the challenge of, you know, times for families and kids and our times and all. That was worth it. It was really worth it. So thank you for participating in that and considering that before the Lord to come on Tuesday. If you're coming, come in time. It's great. It really energizes the people who've never been here before. And they're coming from around the county, and many from the city have never been here before. So this is really good, and from other outlying areas. So if you guys could put that on your calendar as part of 24/7 Fire and Incense. And then Friday night, we're having worship teams here, and we're still trying to finalize all of them in order. So we're not going to say, well, it's going to be like this. We do have a handful, and we're getting some solidification there. So that'll be Friday night, and I think it starts at 7. And then a worship team from Frontline will be in there somewhere. And if we have just two, we have more than two or three or four. But if we have just that, that's fine. But we're just asking you to come out and participate in that as well. So it takes time. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice, we think. You know, it is to whatever degree. But for what God's calling us to do, it's very important. So just invite you to be part of that. And we have a short video clip from Roger Mundry that just came in. From Pastor Shanti and Sumati. And these are the leaders of the smaller children's home that has been meeting for 9, 10, 11 years, not sure exactly how many, right across the alley from us. So we're here, and they're, you know, as close as that wall. And so we have pulled these two centers together. So now we have one Frontline children's home. And so now we've combined all the children. And we've been taking steps towards that, and we announced it already. But if you haven't been here, you wouldn't have heard that. So Pastor Dewa, who was raised from the dead, and his wife Sunitha, they have a testimony that we did share on video here several weeks ago. And we didn't post that with pictures, which is a wise move, we believe, on our website. But the audio is there. So you want to check that out if you weren't here so you can hear what Jesus did. And so Pastors Shanti and Sumati also had major warfare against them, major accidents coming against them at the same time, in that same time frame. So they just sent us this the other day. So we haven't seen it. I've seen it, but you guys haven't yet. So this is Sumati and Pastor Shanti, also leaders of our Frontline Children's Home now.
Hi, Mom and Dad. I am so glad to share my testimony. Last year, on January 11th, we both met with an accident. My spinal cord was broken. Doctors said that I shall never walk in future. I was on the bed for 52 days. My husband informed to Papa Bill and Mama Mary Pat. They and all the brothers and sisters prayed for me, and miracle happened in my life. God healed me. Now I am able to walk and do my activities. I am thank you all for your valuable prayers.
Once again, we thank you all for your valuable prayers, because you all prayed for us when we were in a great sufferings, when we were going through great sufferings. Already my wife told that we were met with an accident last year. We both were met with an accident, bike accident, and I too was, my shoulder bone was broken. We both were kept in hospital for several days. We informed that to Pastor Mary Pat and Bill Gokey, and they prayed for us, and God miraculously healed us, and now we are able to do our works and do the ministry of God. So we all thank you, and thank you all for your prayers. We love you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Isn't that cool? Well, so we will need new sponsors. I think Christy and Teresa will be speaking to you guys about that, but we will need more sponsors for these new kids. I think it's $35 a month, right, Chris? And so they'll be telling you more. We have 10 new children and maybe another one coming back into our other home. So if that touches you, see Christy or Teresa. And the final quick video we have is from Brazil. We just got this in our new worship center. We got it right after church last time. So if we can play this, and you'll see a miniature Pastor Bill.
Hello. Wow. We love you.
The other one up, Inch. The second one. There's two. You were only sent one? Oh. Okay. All right. That's all right. We'll play it next time. It's pretty cool. It has more of the kids in it, but we'll play it. It'll give us something else to show. The last very quick announcement. Thank you for praying for Pastor Jose. He bought all of the pieces for the roof, and none of them were destroyed in the rain. And because of you and your kindness and your support, everything that he needs for the roof has been purchased, and they're beginning their construction. But they came a very big rain came and a big wind. And they took two of our tents. You're going to laugh at this. If you were there last year, just love this one. They took two of our tents to try to save the roof, destroyed those. So we need to buy two new tents, so which is a good thing probably. So anyway, those were destroyed, but those tents, I don't understand the prophetic thing here. Maybe there's something. They saved part of the roof that was in question. So none of the roof materials were destroyed. Maybe they weren't up. Maybe they were just all down. So that... Isn't that great? So he sent a text and he said, thank you for making this happen. So the next set of pictures I get will be, I'm sure, the entire roof on the Palmyra Church Thank you, and God bless you, Frontline family. Thank you. He's very humbled and grateful. And just so you guys know, October 6th is Relentless Pursuit. It's different this year. And Brother Yoon is coming, Mel Tari, Pastor Jose, and then they're already there saying yes, and then we're adding to it as the Lord leads. And then we're also looking to revive with ideas the Lord's giving some of us here and others who've had impressions and visions at the same time, which is kind of weird, but we're reviving that which hasn't happened in a while. So we're looking to have a fall retreat for the young adults, very similar to what anybody retreat age has experienced, to give them an opportunity in college and beyond, high school, college, and beyond, to have what you guys have had. So we have camps and dates and all of that. We're just looking for help and leadership of that. So that's going to be at the end. We're kind of swapping. That'll be at the end of October, which will be kind of a new twist, because we will have more opportunity to touch the edges than we have in the past. Might be a little colder, but we have. It's either going to be the last week or the second to last weekend. It depends on a lot of different factors, and we haven't had time to filter through all that. Carly's been a whiz running through all kinds of things, and she couldn't make it today. But it's one of those two weekends, and that'll be at least 2 weeks from Relentless Pursuit, maybe three. So we're hoping. I think in the last, Brenda, can you come here? This is really quick, just really quick comment. Brenda has been leading Dawn Treaders, which is an impression the Lord gave her to go and prayer walk around Malone University 40 times. And this was a year and a half ago or so. And she and her team, raise your hand if you've been on that team. You've just been doing it, getting up in the morning at 6:30 to 7:30 or 8 or something, whenever. And they've been doing that 40 times. When it's cold, when it's snowy, when it's rainy, when it's ugly, you know. This is Ohio. It's not Florida. So anyway, thank you for that. And it's also the last or the second to last meeting that you had at the Edge, which is an encounter group at Malone. Can you tell everybody just briefly what happened at the most recent one?
The last Edge was pretty amazing. Generally, at the end of the semester, you have a lot of students who just come out because they need SFO credit, which Peter, who's been there, can testify to. That's sort of a pattern. You'll have a few trickle in here. You might have 10 one day. You might have 3 the next week. And then usually at the end, they just all of a sudden start showing up, like in great volumes. And we're like, what do we do? How do we do this? It's very intimate. We've done a lot of teaching on Daniel this past year. But for the very last one, after Don Treaders, Tiana and I met, and we're just like, we had originally asked Troy to speak, but he wasn't free, and we're like, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do? And so as we were praying, we both got the same impression. It was that we were both being led to speak on intimacy, that we were to tag team, and that and to show a video clip. And so we're like, okay, that's simple enough. So we showed a video clip on Francis Chan, which was on intimacy. And then I spoke, and Tiana spoke, and we released the team just for prayer ministry time, but we had somewhere between 50 to 60 students, which was really awesome. Yeah, responding. Well, we had 50 to 60 in attendance, but when we gave a call for people to take a step forward into intimacy, we had about 80% respond, which was super exciting. So we were like, that was just a huge breakthrough on the campus. So we are so thankful, and we're going to be following up with these students through the summer and through emails and sending the links, but it was a really powerful time. And then the students actually stayed. A lot of times they're like jetting out the door. It's 8:00. They've clocked their time and they can just leave. We were actually like just gently shuffling a couple still out at like 9:45. A lot of people stayed and received prayer ministry. We're going to have a team follow-up meeting, but I know I got to pray with somebody for salvation. I know other people had opportunities to lead people to Jesus that night. We had people who were healed last couple weeks as we've been praying, and a lot of people who have been receiving prophetic words and being deeply encouraged. So God is moving on Malone.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, we will have a fall retreat majoring on intimacy and missions, combining the two and see what God does. I think there'll be an explosion. So, you know, three or four of us at the same time, different places, same season, we're having these impressions. And maybe you've had dreams or visions or thoughts. So we're just kind of dropping it right now, and we're going to need help because this is a wild season. So it takes effort. God bless you. Children, go to Kingdom Kids, and Pastor Bill has got a message for us.
Oh, Father, here we are. We're before you. We're in your throne room. We've entered in. And we've quieted our hearts in worship, in hearing testimonies, in hearing what's coming up and what's gone before. Lord, we quiet our hearts before you to hear your voice, Holy Spirit. Speak to us from within. Speak to us from your word. Speak to us from your preacher. Father, we receive all of it. And let it be a message to us today that we don't ignore, that we listen to, that we follow, that we obey. God, I pray that you would receive our attention and give us revelation because of it, Lord. That we've quieted our hearts, we've focused on you enough to receive further revelation. Because you have a hard time releasing to the distracted. You have a hard time releasing to the selfish. You have a hard time releasing to anyone in offense. But you love to release to those who sit at your feet in intimacy, those that worship you. You love to release further and deeper revelation. We need it. We welcome it. We desire it. We go after it today with our whole heart. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there was mention made of 22 years plus ago that this ministry started in our home as a Bible study. And I can remember us speaking about some of the things we're going to talk about today, and there were those that said, yeah, I want to do that. And they're not around. But there were those that said, yeah, I want to do that, and they're still here after all those years. So there is a choice to be made on certain revelation. And this is something that we've had as a theme over the years. As you know, ministries, churches tend to say they have their vision. Typically, it's different themes that they center on, that they focus on. As you know, we focus on the presence of God. We believe that worship of Him, entering into His presence, changes everything in a person's life if they're open to it fully. They can have healing in their hearts from past pain, past rejection, being abandoned, being hurt. Whatever has happened in their past, they can get healed up in the presence of God. We believe the Word of God can go forth in that presence, and we can obey it to the place that we become radical believers. You know, along with that, I guess I did mention it already, worship. entering into the presence. Another theme would be worship of God. As you know, we have many different worship leaders, and they can switch in and out. They can trade during a worship time who's leading. They can step in and step up to new avenues of worship of God. We're still learning. We still think there's greater worship to be offered to God. We haven't reached the summit yet. We're just on our way up. And so the freedom that we have in worship to go ahead in the prophetic and let it loose in downtown Canton on a Friday night, like we did Friday night, it says something to the city and to the church that we're all just on our way in worship. We're just learning how to worship God with our whole heart. We're just children in the process. And that's fun. That journey is fun. Because new songs are given up, both in Washington, D.C., in this house, as well as on the streets of Canton and other places. New worship is being offered up. We're training people in worship as we worship in front of them. And we're being trained by Holy Spirit to go even higher and greater in worship. So worship has been a theme. And one of the themes that we mention a lot, but it needs to be set as the bar again so that you realize that it is still a theme. And it is an important theme. And some of you are cooperating with that theme to the max. And some of you have kind of drifted away from it, to tell you the truth. You've forgotten that it's a theme of not just frontline, that's too low. It's a theme of the kingdom. And so we're going to be talking today about one person that followed that theme all through their life. And it's Timothy. Timothy of the New Testament. Raised up by his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice, in the Old Testament teachings. On Paul's first missionary journey, they feel that he came to Christ as Paul visited his area. On the second missionary journey, he was already a leader in his church, a young leader, like many of you and me. Young leaders. And he was told, don't worry about your youth, even though there are things shared in the New Testament. Be careful when someone's young in the faith. They tend to get puffed up when they're given position. They tend to start building their own little kingdom within the kingdom of God if we're not careful when they're young. But this young man is told, don't worry about your youth. You're so faithful. You're so after God's heart. Go ahead. Be the leader you were meant to be. People think that he may have been rather shy. And so Paul, the ultimate bold guy, comes to this young recruit and says, let me help you with that. You can step into these difficult situations. He was sent to Corinth for a period of time. You know how crazy it was in Corinth. And he was sent there and came back. And the thought is that he wasn't that successful with that mess in Corinth. He needed more seasoning by Paul and so on. He followed Paul to various places, left his own home, his country, and went out with Paul. And you know what that would be like, along with Silas and others. And he followed him closely, so closely that Paul calls him his son of the faith. This is something that we need to rediscover in the body of Christ. We have so many lone rangers. We have so many people running around trying to find significance in the body of Christ, trying to be leaders without being fashioned to be leaders. And yet, in the New Testament, we see the training, the discipling, the building up of a young believer to become a leader. Some of you have stepped into that to the max, and you get hit for it. Why? Because you're loyal to the leadership of this church, of this ministry, of the frontline, you know, leaders. If you're loyal to us, you'll get hit like we do. And some of you have been hit. And I congratulate you on that. Because Jesus got hit, we should get hit, and we pass that hitting on to you, those that are willing. It's a joy. Because those that are persecuted in Christ Jesus will have certain crowns in heaven. Not that we seek the crowns or the persecution, it's just part of the territory. And as time goes on, and as it gets deeper into the last days or the edge of the last days, or however you want to look at that, it's going to get worse. And so leaders will be hit more. You will be hit more if you are loyal to certain leaders. But there's a movement out there that says you shouldn't be loyal to any leaders. That's crazy. What are you doing that for? That puffs them up. That lifts them up. That supports them. That supports them. That helps them. That encourages them. That strengthens them. So many of you have been used to strengthen Pastor Mary Pat and myself and our other leaders many times because you were willing to stand against the flow, not go the way of what happens in so many churches, big or small, that certain little groups start up and they have all the answers. They know. They're experts. But I think we have a quote today that kind of explains something about that, if it flashes up there. It's coming. I was ready to point to it, but... Often the person with the least skin in the game takes their liberty to express the most unsubmitted opinions. Those who have the least skin in the game. A person like Timothy had all of his skin in the game. Think about being under the Apostle Paul. You know what you're in for. Imprisonment. Beatings. In fact, they say that at the end of Timothy's life, tradition says, not exactly that we can depend on it as being factual, but tradition says that at 80 years of age, he went up against a little bit of a parade, so to speak, that was going on for Diana, the goddess of Ephesus, which was his responsibility. Paul gave him the bishopship, so to speak, of Ephesus. He was to be the leader of the Ephesus church. Now, he had gone all over with Paul. That's where he ended up as his final assignment. 80 years of age. Kind of went against a movement, a little bit of a parade for Diana. And so the organizers of the parade beat him, drug him through the city, and stoned him to death. That's the tradition. Of course, as you know, Paul was beheaded in Rome. In fact, 2 Timothy, they believe, is written while Paul is in Rome. It's like his last hurrah, his last communication, so you can read the intensity of that passage. Paul is about ready to be martyred for Jesus, and he wants to make sure his son in the faith gets the last instructions that will carry him through for the rest of his life and the rest of his ministry. Very intense book to a son in the faith. So what am I talking about? What's the theme? That a person... It should be discipled. A person should receive discipling, not just be wandering around, you know, in the Christian life, kind of discovering a bit here and a bit there and trying to put it together and having their questions and having, you know, their revelations and so on. But there should be some focused training, some focused mentoring, some focused sonship, daughtership in the faith. Some of you have discovered that, and you call me up to meet with me. You call me up to see what I think about certain things that are going on in your life. Is that required? No. So please don't say this is the culture of Frontline, that it's required that you check in with the pastors. not. Never has been. But could it be beneficial to you to check in with some leaders on some major decisions you're facing, or some minor decisions you're facing, or a job change, or who you're going to marry, and so on? Could it help? They're not going to come in with the answers. They're not going to come in with the pronouncements. They're going to come in and say, let's check with Holy Spirit together. If I see any red flags flash up, I'll tell you. If I hear anything from Holy Spirit, I'll offer it to you. But it's your choice because it's your life. That's the way it was with Timothy. Okay? And many of you have taken advantage of that. Now, does that mean you have to check in with us every day and tell us what, you know, you had for breakfast? Obviously not. And Pastor Mary Pat would not want that. Okay? But let's be real. If the last days are becoming more fiery, then we're going to need one another. We're going to need the kind of training that has never been given on the earth. And that's all going to come from Holy Spirit. It's not going to come from my experience, my knowledge, Pastor Mary Pat's experience, her knowledge. It might be quite extensive at this point in our life. But it's not just going to come from that. That's not enough. It has to come from Holy Spirit using us as counsel in your life, designed specifically for you. Now think of that. Those that go after instruction, Proverbs 12:1 says, you know, you got to figure it out. Those that don't, those that avoid correction, that verse says, are stupid. Whoa. Proverbs is pretty, you know, right up front. Right up front. So, all I'm saying is, from a dad's heart today, is don't let the bar go down. Some of you are letting the bar slip down. Others of you are trying to let the bar go as high as God wants it to go. And you're taking nations, you're taking neighborhoods for Jesus because of it. Because it's not my plan, it's not Pastor Mary Pat's plan, it's not to control someone's life, it's not to, you know, be in charge, and the more people that we have, you know, that we have input into, oh, we can keep the holy huddle together. No, we're going to be sending you out, as was mentioned today, I don't know how many times, sending the little children out into our world to be salt and light. So it has nothing to do with control. It has to do with your preparation. And so it is with Timothy. If you'd listen to 2 Timothy 2:2. Actually, we'll start in 2 Timothy 2:1. You therefore, my son, calls him his son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's what we like, life back there. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And the things you've heard from me, Paul, Timothy, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is his instruction to Timothy. When I was a new believer, someone came along and said, I want to help you with your life. Now, I had the choice. I could let them in or I could keep them out. I decided to let them in. Now, back in those days, that person that was offering this discipling to me, they discipled for 3 years. Then they said, go. Just go somewhere. As you know, in Frontline, you can go anywhere you want. There's no membership here. You can leave at this moment and we never see you again. But if you choose to stay, you can have things committed to you that you can commit to faithful men that are just like you. Faithful men and women. You receive from leaders here, others here, believers here, the worship here, the presence here. It's not not just the leaders. And then you commit that to other faithful men, other faithful women. You say, I don't get it. How does that work? Paul sought out a young believer named Timothy. Actually, he may have led to his believing in Christ. He had a spiritual background already through his mother and grandmother. And Paul built on that foundation by giving him Christ. And then he built him up, trained him as a leader. These two books of the Bible, 1 and 2 Timothy, are his intimate letter to him. Timothy and Silas were a couple of his disciples, as well as Titus. And Timothy and Silas, they didn't write exclusive books in the New Testament, but they helped write a couple of books in the New Testament with Paul. Just like here, when we go out to the mission field, it's not just Pastor Mary Pat or myself preaching the gospel. You are asked, maybe on the spot, go ahead, step up, preach the gospel. You're asked on the spot, go ahead, lead worship in this situation. It's not just the two of us doing all the things up front. We want you prepared to take the gospel to the nations, the gospel downtown Canton. And so we turn things over to you, those that are faithful leaders in Christ, to take on a campaign, a mission, a particular outreach, or so on. At the gift of Christmas, it's been years since we've had, you know, charge of leading gift of Christmas. We turn that over to someone. And at the end, yes, we do preach the gospel and so on. But there are people doing dance and drama and worship and loving on people and leading people to the Lord during that day or praying for their healing and so on. Do you see what the theme is? What the process is? It's building you up to be powerful in Jesus. If anyone thinks they can do that alone, they're a very rare person if they achieve that. All of us, according to the New Testament, need input from other believers. We need sharpening. In the Old Testament, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Many of you have heard me say that over and over and over again. I'm not going to stop saying that because it's true. We have to sharpen one another. Nobody can, you know, walk down the middle here and not have anything to do with any of us and become a successful believer. I don't think so. Not very often. Now, there are some that don't seem to require a whole lot of input from others and to get it direct from God. I'm not one of those. I doubt that many of you are like that. But there are some. But they're pretty anointed by God to be in that position of oftentimes being a prophet and hearing from God direct, being trained by God direct, and so on. The rest of us are in a position of sharpening one another, helping one another in the Christian life. And so it is with Timothy. If you read through 1 and 2 Timothy, and I would give that as an assignment from a father to you. 1 and 2 Timothy in the next couple of weeks. When I preach again, I'll ask, see how many have read through those two books. Why? Because they have more to do with this message than me speaking. If you read through those two books, you'll catch the heart of what Jesus wants us to do in this area of discipleship. How can you be a person that disciples if you've never been discipled? We've heard that before. How can you be a disciple maker if you haven't been a disciple? How can you be a person that fathers if you've never been fathered in the faith? It's pretty hard. So we offer that occasionally just kind of as a side comment. I'm letting you know it's still something we believe in here in Frontline. And it's not necessarily popular anymore because everyone feels, not everyone, but many feel they can do this alone. They have all the resources. They can check on YouTube when they need a message on name the topic. They can go to a conference. They can run off to a church that has a special program and so on. They'll get their discipling that way. And I'm telling you, it doesn't go as deep, and you won't go through the correction. You'll be too far away from the speaker. I mean, the person on YouTube can't change what they say to you. They can't design it specifically for you. It's a great message. I listen to messages on YouTube. Love it. But I know that person can't speak right to me, to my situation, tailored to me as a father. They just can't. They're too far away. And so what happened with Paul and Timothy was that father-son relationship, and gee whiz, they didn't have YouTube. They didn't even have the New Testament printed yet. How'd they do it? And yet, you know, they were the foundation of spreading the gospel across the earth. Incredible. And others were involved in that, as I mentioned, Titus and so on. And there were those that said, not any longer. I know better. Hymenaeus, Alexander, Demas. They went after other things. They lost track of who they were. They decided not to be sons. And they fought against Paul. Those were there too. And he was concerned about them. But he didn't give in to them. So Timothy means honoring God, honored by God. That's what his name means. Pretty interesting. He traveled with Paul, circumcised by Paul to be acceptable to the Jews. They would be evangelizing. And he said, sure, I'll go through whatever training program you have. He ended up at Ephesus, as I mentioned, as the bishop, as the leader in Ephesus. Ephesus is in modern-day Turkey. It's right across the Aegean Sea from Greece. In Philippians 2, there's a comment on Timothy. Listen to the love of father for son in the book of Philippians. It's chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. But I trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. Paul had so much trust in a Timothy, he would send him when he was in prison to take care of situations in other churches, other places. He knew he was about the Father's business, just like Paul was, like-minded as Paul was. He sincerely cared for other believers, not just his own things. He didn't... Others sought their own, he said, but not the things that are Christ Jesus. But you all know his proven character. That is his son with me. He served me in the gospel. So Timothy proved himself to live for the Lord Jesus to the point that, yes, he could be sent out as Paul's personal representative to the churches. And he would tell those churches, listen to him as if you listen to me. And that's the same that the Lord Jesus does with us. He sends us out as his personal emissaries, his personal representatives. We want to be a good, faithful, loving representative of Christ when we go out. Not someone stirring up trouble, not someone stirring up accusation, not someone stirring up blame. We want to go out with the heart of Jesus. And who can keep us on track with that? Usually someone that's discipling us. In 1 Timothy 1:2, he calls him my true son in the faith. In 1 Timothy 1:18, my son. 2 Timothy 1:2, my dear son. This is similar to Moses with Caleb and Joshua. He said Caleb had, you know, the Lord said Caleb had a different spirit. And Joshua was right in there with him. The only two spies that came back from the promised land and said, let's go get it. Out of, what, 10 or 12 spies, forget. Only those two. Why? Moses had taken them to the tent of meeting. They wanted to go there. They wanted to spend time in God's presence and around Moses. And they saw Moses would have loved to go into the promised land if he was allowed to take it, because he knew it was promised. It's a promised land. If it's a promised land, the giants have to fall. But the majority of the spies said, no, we can't do it. But those mentored, those that were close to Moses, those that met with God, with Moses in the tent of meeting, they were ready to take the promised land and see the giants fall. So there was a mentoring, discipleship, relationship between those men. You know that David with Jonathan, similar in age more than likely. Jonathan going to be king after his father Saul would be the plan. And yet Jonathan said, no, David needs to be king. I'll serve him. I'll learn from him. He's the anointed one. I need to serve him, love him, have a covenant with him. Let him take first place. And, you know, Jonathan, if he hadn't had Saul as a father, he probably would have ended up quite successful with that relationship because it was alignment with heaven. But unfortunately, Saul tainted some of that relationship. So throughout the scriptures, there's a passing of the torch. You know that we're passing the torch here in a sense as we build you up, as we train you up. You're taking the torch, maybe, you know, not the torch, but you're taking a torch to go to nations. You're taking a torch to go downtown and share Jesus at First Friday. You're taking the torch of worship to other places that, you know, I can't be by myself. You get to go. You get to lead. When we were in Washington, D.C., it was just so cool to have so many leaders of worship down there in the tent, David's tent, to lead the worship, building up one another, supporting one another as a family of worshipers. So it works the same in worship. There's been a training going on of worship. There's been discipling in worship. It's kind of a new concept, because normally in many places, there's one worship leader, they're the one, you go to them, they lead everything, everybody else supports that person, or maybe two people. But here, it's spread out. There's discipling going on so that you could lead worship anywhere, at any time, on your own, and be anointed and go for it, because you've been in a relationship of discipleship in the worship area. So there's, you know, incredible things that can be done with a small group of people when there's disciples. Many pastors I meet with, and I've been meeting with a lot more in this season, a lot more. And I go to prayer meetings and so on, and they'll say, so how many do you have in your church? And I rarely tell them. And they, you know, they're, well, I mean, how many are in your church? It's all about how many you have in your church. And I rarely tell them. Why? Because I don't think of how many are here. I think of how many are discipled. How many are willing to pay the cost and follow Jesus with a whole heart, whole mind, whole soul. We'll accomplish so many more things than a great big box full of people. So those pastors, when I say to them, oh, we take this trip or that trip, sometimes we're out of the country at the same time. Who preaches while you're gone? Well, one of the people we've, you know, trained up. One of the people that follow Jesus that go after his heart. You trust them to do that? Now, you know, pastors talk on the side. You know, this isn't a public forum that they're saying these things. And I say, are you kidding? Sometimes the church goes forward when we do that. Sometimes more people are drawn in. Sometimes they get back and they're cheering like, I heard a message from so-and-so. It was just awesome. And we rejoice. There's no jealousy in that because it's like, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so I'll ask a few questions, you know, under the radar to some of these leaders. They don't have anybody that they would trust. If they were out of the country for, let's say, a month, they believe their church would be taken over. Honestly, some of them, not all of them, but there are some that will even share that. Oh, I could not be gone that long. I can't go on missions. Why? Well, when I got back, I might not have a church. I'm thinking, whoa, that's scary. Scary. Why don't they enter into what God has here for the Paul, Timothy type of relationship? And then they could trust the person like Paul trusted Timothy. They knew each other. They knew each other's heart for Jesus. There wasn't a question of whether there would be a rebellion while they're out of the country ministering for Jesus. There would be joy that someone could take their place and they could go to other places and share the gospel for a season. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you hear my heart? I'm not trying to beat anyone over the head. I'm just trying to raise that bar back up there for your benefit. Believe me, we have enough to do. So if some of you said, you know, I really haven't been entering into this as much as I should. I've been keeping secrets from God by not entering into the correcting and the building up of my faith. You know, building up your faith involves correction. That's what a lot of people run from. That's what you should run toward. You with me? That's what you should run toward. Otherwise, the Bible says, we're stupid if we don't. Why? Because we all need correcting. All of us need correcting. Every one of us needs correcting. And the more we're corrected, the more we're like, oh, Jesus. The more we change, we're like, oh, Jesus. I want to be like Jesus, but I don't want to be corrected. I want to be like Jesus, but I don't want to listen to anybody but me. I want to be like Jesus, but don't make me pay any cost. I want to be like Jesus, but don't ask me to do this, that, and the other. I've got a list of the no, you can't ask me to do. We don't really want to be like Jesus then. Let's be plain simple. Come on, let's just be plain and simple about it. If you got your own little list of no, 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 that's not being like Jesus. Jesus had no list. He gave that to the Father before he came. Think of Jesus. He could have used his list. I want to stay here with you, Father. I don't want to go down there and be implanted in a body in which I can't be in all places at all times. I'm omnipotent. I'm omniscient. I'm omnipresent up here, but I have to limit those things to die for those people. Let me stay here. Let me stay here. Let me stay here with you, Father. No. He laid all of that glory aside so he could come and die for us. No list. Jesus had no list. No list that he said, no, 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 no. It was all, yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. May we be more like that, all of us. Because he's the example, isn't he? All of us are imperfect examples, but he is the ultimate example. So, Hebrews 13, 23, Timothy is recently released from prison. So he was in prison, maybe more than once. He said that Paul said to him, you know, be careful about accusations of elders, give elders double honor. He told him what to do with those who are sinning. He said, don't lay hands on certain ones hastily. Fight the good fight of faith. Oh, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. He said, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Make sure that you're following your holy calling. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. That good thing that was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwell in us. Be strong in the grace. Commit to faithful men. Flee youthful lusts. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Suffer persecution. You must continue in the things which you have learned. All scripture is profitable. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. There will be those that have itching ears in the last days. Fulfill your ministry. I'm going to be a drink offering. What was he saying to Timothy? You will too. Fight the good fight. I've fought the good fight. Fight the good fight. There'll be a crown of righteousness waiting for you. And finally, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Many things that he taught Timothy in these two books, as well as, obviously, as Timothy accompanied him everywhere in the ancient world. That's what God has for us. Ask him, who should mentor me? Maybe it shouldn't be one of the leaders. Maybe it's someone else in here that has shown a faithful life. And Holy Spirit will point you to that person. And you will humble yourself because you're about the same age. Or maybe you're older than they are. And yet they've had such a faithful life for Jesus that you have to humble yourself and receive further training. Is that a bad thing? No. That's a good thing. All of us humbling ourselves to be trained up in this body so that we'll take more territory of the enemy for the kingdom. That's what the plan is. That's what the theme is. That's what it's always been from the time that we started. Training up, going farther, being able to fight the fears off, all those things with the encouragement and the impartation and everything else. Because we're a small, intimate body with all kinds of holes and all kinds of problems and difficulties and all that, we can become closer than many places can. We have that opportunity. Many of you remember we can just pick up stakes of our tent and go down to People's Baptist on a Sunday. We can take up the stakes of our tent and go down to Washington, D.C. Many bodies don't have that opportunity to do that. They can't just stop church and go somewhere else. We can. We can be something that, a body that can move if we need to. We don't have to just stay in this place all the time and worship here. We can worship anywhere. Some of you were here the Sunday that we worshiped out front. We can even, leave the stage and go out front and welcome people coming in and do worship out front or in the back room. We don't have to keep things in a certain flow. There's no rules to it in this place. I like that. When we get too stale, I like to see it changed up. I like to see things shaken up a bit. We can't get into the churchy. We have to be the radical. And we've just begun. If you think it's crazy, this is not. This is not even close yet. We've got more of our lives to lay down and places to go and people to see and ministry to do and intimacy to enjoy. Father, we thank you, God. We bless your name. You're so good. We thank you, God, that you're training us day by day by day by Holy Spirit. And Lord, we offer ourselves to be trained up by whoever you decide. Timothy was chosen by Paul to train up as a leader. May we be first in line for the person that you have chosen from the foundation of the world to train us up. I thank you for Roger Van Ord, God, that took a young guy who had a little bit of zeal, but needed that zeal guided, needed that zeal directed. And Father, I don't think I was as close to Roger as I could have been, but I was growing, I was learning, and he pointed out some things in my life that have affected me to this day because you were behind that relationship. And Father, I pray that the other people that were inputting into my life along the way, God, you would bless them richly. You would bless them richly. There were other Rogers in my life, God, that spoke into my life, that helped train me up. I appreciate that training, God. I appreciate them speaking into my life. And God, sometimes I came to them with impossible situations and they gave me counsel, oftentimes very small amount. But when I brought it to you, you helped me see by Holy Spirit what way to go, what to do in certain situations. It doesn't take a lot from a mentor, from a discipler, to change everything because you're behind it. Let us know, Father, more and more from you. You're behind this process, this fathering process. And God, it's not a smothering thing. It's an empowering thing. And God, may we know more and more how to do this as you would have it done. That there would be more Paul and Timothy situations. There would be more Ruth and her daughter-in-law, God. There would be more David and Jonathan's relationships, covenants. There would be more Moses, Joshua, and Caleb relationships, Father, to build the kingdom strong, that there wouldn't just be a bunch of blocks laying out in the yard trying to figure out where they fit. But God, the building that you're building, the foundation you're building, would have all the blocks in place with the mortar to help them be solid, solid believers to build your kingdom. Thank you, God, for your process. We're still discovering what that means and what that looks like. Lord, we allow the bar to go high because it will be best for us and benefit us in the kingdom. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for making it clear in your scriptures. And we receive your love in this way as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So, assignment, 1 and 2 Timothy, read through it. You'll be blessed. And if you don't complete that assignment, grace, mercy, there's no check off at the door or any of that. But I think you'll be blessed if you read 1 and 2 Timothy.